Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jewish authorities gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It has been a joy to be your vicar this year. I have so appreciated the ways you have welcomed me into this place, sharing your life with me as I have moved through my final year of seminary. I have been blessed by your stories and your passion and your genuine curiosity for how God is calling us to be the church together in the world. And so I think it might be helpful for me to share a little bit about what comes next, or at least what I know at this point, not only so that you have an update on me, but also so that you know a little bit more about how our denomination works. So in the Lutheran Church, people called candidates, such as myself, people who are finishing seminary and are now eligible to be pastors in the church, get assigned by all the bishops of all 65 synods to a particular region of the country. So I have been assigned to the North Texas, North Louisiana Synod, and I've been in conversation with the bishop there and with a congregation about where I might be before too long. Who can say? So it was on the plane ride home from an interview in this synod a few weeks ago that I did what I love to do when I'm on planes that have the TVs in each seat. I perused the documentaries. And one in particular caught my eye. And we've known each other for about a year now, so I'm sure it won't surprise you when I start to tell you the story of this documentary. It's a film that was entitled Sufra, and you can find it on Hulu. And it follows a woman named Miriam, who is a Palestinian refugee living in a camp in Lebanon. So Miriam works to open her own catering company, gathering in other refugee women from this camp to be a part of this new business. And Miriam bumps up against government rules and regulations that stall her work to expand as she tries to move towards getting a food truck, a step that would move her company outside of the boundaries of this refugee camp. She persists, and in her persistence, she leads the women who have joined her in this work towards a life of meaningful work, towards hope when hope for so many seems so far off. And we have three rich readings today, and in each of them, there are these themes of hope in the face of despair. First of all, in Acts, we have the story of Dorcas, or Tabitha, depending on the language we're looking at. And she is the only woman who's called a disciple in the New Testament. The way that the word is in Greek, it's the only feminine word of disciple in the New Testament. And she spent her whole life among the vulnerable, among the widows of her community, in solidarity and in service. And in the wake of her death, Peter, who's one of the apostles that Jesus sent out to do work in his name, is called in. So there's despair in the absence of a beloved teacher and leader and friend, and hope that just maybe Peter might be able to perform a miracle. There's the despair that drove a community to seek out Peter, to bring him to where Dorcas was dead, and hope that the call from Peter that Dorcas has been raised from the dead, hope for what this could mean next for this community. And then in Revelation, we have a picture of a gathered people from every nation, every language together, a picture of God's peaceful reign. And singing together, the community has a special attention to a particular group of people, the ones who are clothed in white. And it is then that it shared who these people are. These are the ones who have known hunger, who have known thirst, who have known scorching heat. These are the ones who have known oppression and have suffered. These are the ones that together are met with hope in the presence of God, guiding them towards the new springs of life, wiping tears of despair from their eyes. Hope that the life that they have known is not the life that waits ahead. And finally, in John, we have Jesus being questioned by the religious authorities, something that we heard not too long ago in Holy Week. Jesus is asked once again who he is. And Jesus names the unbelief of these leaders. These religious authorities, they are the ones that are using religion to exploit others and to elevate themselves. But Jesus' response is a testament to who God is and what God's reign is doing. Jesus promises that while those in power neglect the vulnerable, that as a good shepherd, God's love gathers and cares for the vulnerable. Because those who have known suffering also know the sound of hope. They know the sound of good news. It is the promise of Jesus and John to gather those in who have been isolated and forgotten and neglected into one beloved community. So both in Revelation and in John, Jesus, or the shepherd, meets their sheep in their despair. And that's what we celebrate in the incarnation. When we talk about God entering into human flesh, into a fully human life, we celebrate that God feels fully what those places of despair that we inhabit are like. God feels fully the despair of refugee families. God feels fully the despair of losing a beloved friend. God feels fully the disparaging effects of racism and xenophobia in our communities and in our world. And God feels fully the realities of death or abandonment by those whom you thought would always abide with you. God feels fully. Which then makes the unique words of new life spoken in each of these three stories, but especially here in Acts by the Apostle Peter to a lifeless Dorcas, all the more powerful when we hear, "Tabitha, get up." Get up, not because your grief doesn't matter, but because it matters so much to God that the despair of this world can't and won't be the end. Get up. Because God is a God of resurrection who continues to bring new life out of places where hope seemed improbable and even impossible. Get up. And if you can't get up today, take heart from our scripture passages. Because it was Dorcas's community that brought her back to life. The ones who were clothed in white were a community made up of the ones who shared this experience of suffering. The sheep don't come alone, but are gathered out of isolation into community and led by the shepherd. So get up. Get up is the message of hope proclaimed to us in Easter. It's the message of resurrection that we're still celebrating this whole Easter season. So like Miriam and the women who have been gathered to work with Sufra, God gathers us to witness new life, to witness hope when hope seemed impossible. There's one more little nugget that I'll share with you all that I learned from this documentary. So Sufra is the name of the catering business and the food truck that Miriam and her team run. And Miriam says that they picked the name Sufra because in Arabic it means a big table filled with delicious food. Now, in just a little bit, we'll be singing one of my favorite psalm settings or psalm songs of the 23rd Psalm, so stay tuned. But we all know the 23rd Psalm, right? We've heard it. Some of us could even maybe say it by heart. So I want to point us ahead to a particular verse of this psalm, and if you know it, you can say it along with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. This is the power of hope in the resurrection. This is the strength of God, our shepherd, that even in the midst of our enemies, in the midst of despair, a big table filled with delicious food is prepared and shared. We find that hope in God's grace at this table each week. We find that hope in this sufra of good food that is spread among us. It is only by God's grace that we are able to witness the hope of Dorcas's community, the hope of the ones robed in white, the hope of the sheep that have been gathered in by the shepherd. And it's by God's grace that we are gathered into community too, guided by the good shepherd, given the gift of hope here and now. Can you see hope? Can you feel hope? Can you taste it? Now get up and bear witness to the power of God's relentless hope. Thanks be to God.